realize the Supreme Self. Let any lesser self drop away. Abide at the core. The essence. In absolute stillness. realize the all-encompassing field of consciousness, free of an I thought. dissolve into the infinite space of pure awareness. Free the awareness from all thought production. Abide in your supreme beingness. Parameshvaraya. Parabrahman. Parashakti. Anatta. Shivaya, Shivaya, Namah. Om. Shivoham. Namaste. One of the key points of Sri Ramana's teaching that is most difficult for the ego to grasp or to retain, but it's the essential point for the transcendence of the illusion, is articulated in the Sadarshanam, the 40 verses on reality, beginning on in verse 20, which reads in this translation, "To see God and not the self that sees is only to see a projection of the mind. It is said that God is seen by him alone who sees the self. But one who has lost the ego and seen the self is none other than God." Okay, so to see God and not the self that sees is only to see a mental projection. Most of the visions that people have of some divine presence, a vision of Jesus, a vision of the Buddha, a vision of whatever deity, and not to realize the seer, is to get caught in an illusion. And this illusion is the same illusion that occurs at a lower octave when the ego sees another person and projects a mental image of a presence that will rescue one, that will love one, that will take care of one, that will trigger one's upliftment, etc. The projection of a mental image without realizing it, that it is a projection of the self, is always a loss of real power and an enmeshment in the imaginary. So the problem with the structure of ego perception is that the ego is based upon an object-oriented ontology. It has an attraction to an object as having reality and does not realize the reality of the subject that sees the object. And therefore it must seize the object in order to give itself reality. It has to have the gaze of the other, the approval of the other, the love of the other, to give itself reality, even though the other was given the power to do that through the projection. So the ego cannot realize itself, its own nature, because its own nature is a lack of essence, a lack of self, a simple mental stream of thoughts that are all seeking an object. And therefore cannot approach its own reality and is horrified by the lack of a real essence within itself. And so the ego's perceptive structure is not even object-subject, but object-abject. Its own nature is felt as a lack that the chosen object has in surplus, and therefore I need from it. So the abject nature of the ego, that is never good enough, never worthy enough, never certain enough, never sure of whether it's succeeding or failing, that doubt, that uncertainty then requires an object to stabilize its sense of security, well-being, appropriateness, etc., etc. So the insecurity at the heart of the ego then triggers always a fear that something shameful, something guilty, something wrong will arise within the space, and it will be the ego's fault because of its own abject lack of having been able to master a situation, since it has projected its capacities outside of itself. So if we go to the soul level, which has interiority, its interiority is of a symbolic nature. So it is able to understand the lack of the ego, but it still is functioning with objects. But they are mental objects, symbolic objects, but still in the realm of the object. So whether you are in experience or imperience, in ego or soul, there is a loss of self because the mentation is captured by a stream of thought that is seeking a truth, if it's in the ego level, that is based on a symbolic accord with an archetypal criterion of what is right, what is good, etc., but still at a symbolic level, and does not realize where that archetypal criterion comes from, and is still lost in a sense of objectivity that is never quite accurate enough. And the ego, of course, is completely fallen even from that level, and therefore clueless as to what it is doing, and therefore has endless questions. Am I doing it right? Should I do it differently? Should I do this longer? Should I stop? Should I go in this direction, go in the other? And it has no criteria for making a clear, decisive action. It's always second thinking itself, and therefore creating a glitch, getting in its own way, unable to make a commitment, always changing its mind. There's no stability because there's no essence. So we have to go beyond to the self. So even if you project God has come to you and told you what to do, which a psychotic ego will do to give itself a sense of stability, a delusional sense, but it cannot hold on to that because it requires that ongoing delusion to fill its mind. But because it's not the real God, but a projection of its own mind, it's still going to be receiving the kind of false information that continues the ego within its delusional maya, but never allows consciousness to break free of that object-abject duality. Okay, so then in verse 21, Ramana says, when the scriptures speak of seeing the self and seeing God, what is the truth that they mean? How to see the self? You see, the ego cannot see itself. It can only see objects. So how to see the self? As the self is one without a second, it is impossible to see it. You cannot make the self an object, but the ego can only see objects. So it is not subtle enough to perceive the self. Therefore, it can't believe in God, really. It can believe in lip service to some tradition it's been indoctrinated in, but there cannot be a true faith because it is impossible to perceive. So the self is one without a second and therefore impossible to see. So how to see God? To see God, the self, the Buddha, nature, however that is languaged, to see him, her, it, that, self, is to be consumed by that. Okay? Consumed. The seer must be consumed into that which is seen, but can't be seen because it's infinite. So there has to be a total surrender of the seer into the vastness of the infinite self. And it cannot achieve its own consumption. It can only surrender and wait to be consumed. So, in verse 22, Ramana says, without turning inward and merging in the Lord, in his light, that shines within the mind and lends it all its light, how can we know the light of lights with a borrowed light of the mind? Okay? So the ego wants to know God with its mind, but that tiny borrowed light that comes from the real light of God cannot know that greater light. It can only know the small objects that that light can reveal. But that light of the ego cannot reveal the light of lights. So, the only solution is to turn inward and merge into the Lord, which is the one who sees, the one who is perceiving the ego stream of thoughts and its objects, and its emotional charges and all of its narratives, but the one who perceives it without identifying with it and merge into the ultimate seer of its own mental activity. And there must be love for that absolute source to be drawn into it, or else one will be drawn out toward an object. You won't be able to focus within because the ego is so desperate for objects external to itself. It cannot concentrate sufficiently to merge into God consciousness. So this must be done through realizing the ego's hopelessness, its absence of reality, and with a desperate need and love for that which is real within one, one must let go of the stream of thoughts and the seeking of objects in order to discover that core of one's being that never changes, never arises, but never disappears, and which is the source of the awareness that allows the ego illusion to manifest, but is never captured by it. So there must be that inward pull to the source of one's being, and arriving at that silence, there must be a total surrender to it, so that one doesn't leave it out of fear of being consumed by the infinite, which is the ego's resistance to that very act of self-realization and liberation. In that act of allowing the I concept or the self-image to be dissolved into the real seer, the knower, that is one's supreme beingness, will alone allow the transcendence of the ego and ego death and liberation from the illusion permanently. So let us use today to be consumed by the God Self within, and rather than externalizing and allowing the thought stream to carry you away from your center, have attention constantly on returning to the center, to that pure awareness that is not captured in the actions of the body or the thoughts of the mind, but is always the pure awareness that never changes or moves. And by abiding in that, all of the anxiety, all of the depression, all of the fears and desires of the illusory ego will fall away, and there will be only peace and intelligence and power and joy and love that emanate from the infinite self that you are, but that you cannot know except through a total surrender and merger into that. May you feel the peace that comes of silencing the thought stream that seeking objects and fulfillment in external relations of need, demand, desire. And by letting go of that thought stream, to discover the inherent fullness of your real being. And may you know the deeper peace and silence of the realization that there are no objects, there is no world, there are no others, there is no multiplicity. There is only the consciousness that projects all of that. And by withdrawing all projections, one discovers the real that is beyond all worlds, all duality, all illusion, all disempowerment, all agony of the suffering of lack. And one returns to the real that is eternal life. And may you know that supreme peace that is the bliss of the realization that you have always been only the supreme beingness. And you have never fallen from the state of God consciousness, because that fall itself was an unreality, a dream that was only dreamt in order to enjoy one's awakening to the eternal nature of the Absolute Self. That is the only truth, the only real, and is that here and now.